this week. Coming up to the front, and you guys can give them a round of applause as they're coming up. One is we want you to see just how many people it takes. This is just a section. We've got a small section of how many people are going to be involved in helping out with VBS. Last year, I think we had roughly 40 kids, 35, 40 kids. This year, we've already got 58 signed up. I've got one at my house, and every once in a while, she like drives me crazy. 58 here. These people need some prayer. So we're going to take a second to just lift them up in prayer. If we have any pastors or elders that want to come up and just kind of lift them up in prayer and kind of commission them for this week. Sound good?
Really, the pastors and elders were completely involved with this as well. So please, thank you. You knew I couldn't come up here and not talk.
I know.
There were also, we had over 30 people that came and helped decorate over the last 2 weeks. And could you join us up here? Angelica and Robert and Mr. Greeley come up here, spent 2 days off. People that have had days off. We have people that have taken vacation, a week's vacation, and are coming here to do VBS. That's just so awesome. I'm so excited. And also remember, and Steve made a pizza place. If you haven't been into the cafeteria, into the gymnasium, you need to see the brick oven pizzeria that Steve put up in there. That's just incredible. There were also, Miley is teaching Children's Church. There are more people to this team, and all of these people are going to be here this week, and I just am so blessed to be here and working with them. So thank you.
Let's pray just to commission this VBS week. Father God, we thank you so much for the children that you've entrusted to us. We thank you so much just that there are people that are going to bring kids that may, for the very first time, as they do every year, hear about what your son has done. And Father, we just pray that we have just an awesome time to show what joy there is in knowing you and the strength that comes to be able to face all of the challenges of life, to be able to defend what it is that we believe and all of that this VBS is geared towards. Father, I pray that you would just be glorified, that you would keep everything safe, that it would just be an awesome time, not only for the kids that come and that have a chance for fellowship and to hear about Christ, but for the adults and the workers that pour the energy in and see these kids just have such a wonderful time.
Father, we lift these volunteers up. Father, knowing that they are going to be impacting one of our most valuable assets, our children. And Father, we pray that this week, this coming week, that the opportunities that are presented will be used. Father, that the knowledge of your son will be disseminated amongst this neighborhood and around our community here. Father, we just ask that you watch over them, you bless them, and you keep them safe. We ask all this in Christ's name.
Father God, as we head into this week of VBS, Father, to touch the hearts of the smallest of the kingdom, Father, we also know that the hearts of the leaders will be changed as well. Father, as not just the curriculum is taught, but words and actions are shown to these little ones as to who you are. Father, as adults, the responsibility we have to reach out, to wrap our arms around each and every little one. Father, knowing that is the greatest gift that we can really give at this time, is just to share who you are, share who we are, and embrace them. Father, may your heart be shown by each and every action, word, thought throughout this week, and may you be lifted up in all that is done. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, you guys can be seated.
We actually have 59 children that we know will be here because Zoe hasn't been registered yet.
Get off the stage. There are perks of doing ministry with your mom. Go ahead and turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 5. That's where we're going to be camping out this morning. As you saw, we just spent a week at camp. It was fantastic and amazing. I cannot talk more highly about Camp Pondo. They are fantastic. And it is a youth pastor's dream to take kids to Camp Pondo because they spoil youth pastors up there. It was fantastic. They served me tri-tip one day that was amazing. They brought it in and catered and sent all the kids outside and had all the youth pastors hang out inside and served this really awesome meal. They sent us into town to hang out by Lake Arrowhead for a day, and they're like, we've got the kids. You guys get out of here. And I'm like, sweet. And it was just fantastic. They do such a good job. And we, this year at camp, in my, I've been a youth pastor for 7 years now, literally the best camp experience I've ever had. Not just for me, but I think for our students too. We just had some incredible life change, and I want to talk a little bit about that. But the theme for camp this year was kingdom. And they were talking about how Christ's kingdom is different than the world's kingdom. And so they spent a lot of time in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is kind of saying, okay, you've heard it said this way, like the kingdom of the world talks about this, but I tell you that this is what my kingdom looks like. And so the theme was that it was the upside of down, that Jesus was kind of taking everything that we've heard about and flipping it upside down. And it was kind of, it was really the first time that I've looked at the Sermon on the Mount that way. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I want to just read this section. So if you're in Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to start reading in verse 21. And throughout Matthew chapter 5, if you haven't spent a lot of time there, that each section starts out, you've heard it said, and then he'll say something like, do not murder. But I say, don't even hate people. You've heard it said, don't commit adultery. But I tell you, don't even look at someone with lust in your eyes. And so that's kind of a theme throughout the book of Matthew. We're going to focus specifically on this idea of anger in 21. So he says, in verse 21, this is Jesus preaching. He says, you have heard it said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. So there's a couple of things that I want to see in this passage. First, is this idea of flipping it upside down. I have always read the Sermon on the Mount, and I've always seen it as Jesus kind of raising the bar. And I think he was. I think I've always kind of read this sermon as an indictment of the Pharisees. Like, your law says don't murder, but I'm going to one-up you. I'm going to show you that you think you're keeping the rules right, but the rules are actually way higher, and there's no way you're going to be able to keep them. And so for me, as someone who grew up in the church and really liked to know what I could and couldn't do, I like rules. And so I was like, whoa, this sermon just showed me that I'm never going to be able to keep Jesus' rules. And so I've always kind of read it as that, as Jesus the lawman, showing us that his laws are higher than ours. And this week, for the first time, I kind of started to read this as Jesus the physician, pointing out that we've been diagnosing symptoms, and he looks at the actual illness. And so here in this passage, he says, you've heard it said, do not murder. But I tell you, don't even be angry. What I think he's pointing out is that murder is a side effect. Murder is a symptom of the true illness. The true illness starts at anger. Right? The real problem in society is not that people kill each other. The real problem in society is that people have anger towards each other. And that leads them to do terrible things to each other. I have, in the last couple of years, me and anger have been pretty close post-divorce. We know each other pretty well, unfortunately. And I've learned several things about anger. So the second thing that I want to point out in this passage is something that I've learned. So it says, you've heard it said, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say that whoever is angry will be liable to judgment. So here's the thing that's so amazing to me. If I'm angry, It's on me to fix it. Like the person that's in the wrong, if I'm angry, is me. And I've always kind of seen that as Jesus kind of like, gotcha. Like if you're angry, you're liable to judgment. But I read it for the first time as Jesus the physician saying, hey, like you think that the problem is divorce. Divorce is a side effect. That's a symptom. The problem here, the illness here is anger. And I remember being up at night just seething, just rage, so mad, so upset because I'd been so horrendously hurt. And I remember thinking, she doesn't deserve for me to forgive her. And I need to hold this over her so that she can suffer for it. And several months in, I had this wild realization that she wasn't losing sleep at night. like I was losing sleep at night. I had this bitterness that was festering like a poison inside of my soul. My lack of forgiveness for her did not affect her in any way. My lack of forgiveness affected me profoundly. And Jesus nails it on the head right here. He's like, hey, anger, the bitterness, the anger, that's the illness. That's what you've got to get rid of. And it's on you to get rid of it. Not on her. Not on them. And don't hear what I'm not saying. Some of you, lots of you, have been hurt in awful and horrific ways. Breaks my heart to hear stories of kids, especially at camp this week, to hear their stories of neglect and abuse and abandonment. My gosh. Talked to a counselor who said that she had a girl in her cabin a couple weeks ago that her parents locked in her room for a week and feed her. Some of us, some of you have been hurt in profound ways. And it is not your fault that you've been hurt. It is on you to let go of the anger. It is on you to forgive. And something that I've learned in the last 3 years about anger and forgiveness is that you don't have to be asked to forgive. You don't have to be asked to forgive. Forgiveness is not for the person being forgiven a lot of the times. It's for the person doing the forgiving. It's saying, hey, you have stabbed me, but I'm going to quit twisting the knife here. And I'm going to take it out and let it go. I'm not going to continue to hold on to it. I'm not going to continue to let it affect me and affect my relationships and destroy my life. I'm going to take it out, let it go, and forgive and start to heal. You've heard it said, you shall not murder. But I say, don't be angry. I think there's a part of Jesus that is kind of raising the bar for the Pharisees to show them, hey, you can't be good enough. You can't outgood Jesus. But I think there's also a part of Jesus that's coming in as a compassionate physician and saying, hey, I want you to be healed from this. I want you to let go and release and feel the medicine take over. And change your life. And so what I need you to know is that no, it wasn't right for them to hurt you. But the longer you hold on to the hurt, the more it hurts. At camp on, I think it was the first night, this was the passage that our speaker spoke on. And it hit a lot of us. We had one of our girls called her sister that night and was like, hey, we've just had an awful relationship for the last year and I've been really angry at you and I forgive you. Like on the phone right there. I love you. I'm sorry. Let's figure this out. But the most profound story, I'm going to try and get through it. We've got a girl in our youth group named Jill, and I asked her if I could share her story. She said, absolutely. She's 17. Her mom And her dad split up very early in her life, and mom decided to move with new boyfriend to Colorado and decided not to take Jill or her little sister with her. Said, you can stay with grandma and grandpa. I'm going off to live happily ever after with new boyfriend who doesn't really like kids. So, see ya. And there's so much abandonment there. There's so much worthlessness feeling there. And Jill has struggled with that a lot. And Allison has struggled with that too. And I've tried to help them out. And about 2 weeks ago, Jill comes to me and she goes, hey, I'm the day after camp, I'm moving back to Colorado to live with my mom. And I was like, why? That sounds like an awful idea. I was like, oh, okay, so like, is that relationship doing better? And she's like, no. And I was like, okay. And I was like, so why are you moving? And she gave me an answer, but I was like, I can't. That's not it. She gave me another answer, and I was like, okay, but that's not it. And so I was really kind of trying to figure out like how I could help her at camp. And on Wednesday night, they do this thing called church time after the message, and they have everybody break out in churches and talk. And we were talking, and Jill is just losing it. She's crying. She finally composed herself, and she's like, all right, I think I can talk now. And she said, my goal for moving back to Colorado was to make my mom's life miserable for the next year. She said, I wanted to make her pay for every missed birthday, for walking out on my sister and me, for abandoning us. I wanted to make her pay. And you can see that knife, and she's just twisting it in her own gut. The bitterness that had taken over. And that night she said, you know what? I'm done. I'm letting it go. She left this morning to go live in Colorado with the goal to fix a relationship that's been broken for 17 years. Just fantastic to see God work in somebody's life. Is so cool to see the difference in Jill from day one to day three. Was amazing to see how much that relief just changed who she was. And my challenge to you is that I know that you've got something like that in your life. We all have some type of bitterness that we're holding on to, some deep past hurt that we haven't quite let go of, or that maybe we let go of for a time period and then we get upset and we reach back and grab onto it. My challenge to you is that anger and bitterness is only bad for you. It does not keep the other person up at night. It does not hold them accountable. It does not bring justice to be angry, even though we want it to. I wish by being angry I could bring justice, and it just doesn't. My challenge to you is here. You've heard it said, don't murder. But that's the symptom. The bitterness and the rage and the anger, that's the illness. So we need to start realizing, hey, just because I haven't yelled at them and screamed at them and made a public scene, I'm good. That's wrong. Like the fact that we're still holding on to it and thinking about and having those conversations in our mind, That's the illness that's destroying us. It's not hurting them. They're not losing sleep at night. So I saw in this passage for the first time, Jesus saying, I want you to be free from this. I want you to quit losing sleep at night over this. I want you to forgive the parent that abandoned you. I want you to forgive the guy that broke your heart. I want you to forgive your daughter, your brother, whoever it is. And I want you to move away from anger and move on. Again, don't hear what I'm not saying. We've all been hurt in very real ways. And that's on the person that has hurt us. But moving on from it, the monkey's on our back. Forgiving, the monkey's on our back. Do not wait for someone to ask for forgiveness, because it may never come. Let me pray for us. God, forgiveness is not always a fun thing. It is something that I don't particularly like or enjoy. It's medicine. Sometimes it tastes bad. But God, I want the healing. I want the healing for our people. I want the healing for me. And so God, I pray that you will give us the courage that it takes to forgive, the courage that it takes to pull the knife out and let the wound begin to heal. I pray that you will help us start treating the illness rather than the symptom, so that we can start getting better, so we can start loving more fully, so that we can repair relationships that have been broken for decades. In your name we pray. Amen. I'll have the band come on up for one more song. I want to remind you just real quick while they're on their way up, we've got a ministry meeting for missions that is up in Brian's classroom, and we've got a quick meeting for the women right in here about women's retreat. So don't forget about that. Join the Sunday school class. Make sure you get that going this morning. And yeah.